Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bone-crunching hits, backboard-shattering dunks, bat flips, and hat tricks on the Sports Leader, AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
All right, welcome back. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Always excited to welcome in John Doss from WEWS Sports in Cleveland. In the sports bar, John, how have you been?
Gentlemen, very well. It's funny you mentioned, heard in the update there, that UB basketball team. I saw them in that game against Akron today. Man, they are really good.
Yeah, they're real. They've been real all season. I mean, people are going to wake up to this team.
They might be the best. I mean, some people around here are calling them the best MAC team they've ever seen.
So where do you seed a team like that? I mean, they were exciting last year, knocking off Arizona. I mean, do you put them all the way up to a four, John?
You might, because here's the deal. Right now they're rated 16th in the country, right? They're the number 16th team in the country. People don't know this. The MAC is super strong this year. I think the MAC tournament was rated the eighth toughest in the country. So if they roll through the MAC tournament like they rolled through Akron today, I certainly think they could get a four seed.
All right, John, let's talk about what everybody in Cleveland has to be talking about the last week or so. 7-1 odds for the Browns to go to the Super Bowl. They give John Dorsey the key to the city yet or what?
They had given John Dorsey the key to the city probably after the Browns beat the Jets in week three and it was apparent that Baker Mayfield was the real deal. That was the point that John Dorsey earned all of the clout he needed in this city, and now the legend just continues to grow more and more. Guys, there's been three moments. I've been here just under a year. There's been three moments that have blown me away. One of them was Baker coming onto the field for the first time against the Jets. One of them was LeBron's buzzer beater against the Pacers in that opening series last year. I have never witnessed the social media storm that I did a couple days ago when that news broke that Odell Beckham Jr. was coming here. People here have told me, they have likened it to when news broke that LeBron was coming back to Cleveland. Not quite that big, but almost on par with that. This city has exploded in the last 2 days.
But John, it was a story that we saw the internet kind of rumors and everything. I mean, did you dismiss that automatically, or is there something to that? Or did Browns fans just kind of like, that's not real?
No, I jokingly said the Browns fans kind of willed this to happen, because for the last couple of weeks there have been the rumors. Actually, there have been rumors dating really all the way back, even further into the offseason, because Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. were such good friends from their LSU days, because both of them worked out this offseason with Baker Mayfield. There's that now very famous picture of the three of them. And so fans had kind of been poking that bear all offseason. And then it seemed like the rumors got only stronger over the course of the last two weeks. But then the Browns make that deal for Olivier Vernon. They send Kevin Zeitler over there, Olivier Vernon, the pass rusher, coming over here, and I think a lot of people thought that meant that the deal was dead, because they didn't hear Odell Beckham Jr.'s name in there. You would have thought it would have been one big trade, which it ultimately turned out it was. Mm-hmm. And so people kind of pumped the brakes for a couple of days, and then, man, the last, Monday is when the rumors really started getting going and people were really sweating. And then, of course, Tuesday, the big day.
Well, the haters of this deal will point to Beckham's off-field transgressions, his behavior, the diva-like wide receiver stereotype that up to this point he kind of fits. But you mentioned Jarvis Landry. Is he the key to this trade and why this might actually work for the Browns? Will he be able to smooth out any rough edges that Beckham has?
Yeah, do two diva receivers cancel each other out?
You're right.
Is that how this is going to work? I mean, look, they are really good friends. I think they'll tell you the two of them are best friends. I believe they were roommates during their time at LSU. Let's be honest, though. Like, the diva wide receiver stereotype that Odell Beckham Jr. has, okay, what is the worst thing he did in New York? He said a couple of things he should not have said about Eli Manning, right? And then what? He kicked a kicking net? What else did...
Oh, there was a couple of things, whether it be like an interview that wasn't authorized by the team, or, you know, telling a reporter that he was hoping he could play on the West Coast. I mean, just a couple of things that probably didn't sit well with the Giants specifically, you know. But yeah, the on-field stuff, you know, you could say, well, him lifting his leg in celebration after a touchdown was a despicable act. But, you know, I would let that stuff pass. I just want to be entertained.
Yeah, here's the deal. Even more so than his relationship with Landry, John Dorsey has shown that he's really shown over the last month that he is willing to take chances on guys. He went and drafted Antonio Callaway, who was probably graded as a first-round talent with a lot of off-the-field issues. And Callaway had a really good and, you know, off-the-field, a really quiet rookie season. Oh, by the way, then he went and signed Kareem Hunt, who is the guy that he drafted in Kansas City, and you all know his story. And now with Odell Beckham. So Dorsey has shown that he's willing to work with people and that people work well under him. Now, the question is, at what point do you get too many of these guys in the same locker room?
John Doss, formerly of 13 Wham, and now making the trip around the country. His next stop, Cleveland, WEWS. Also, you can see him during the Browns broadcast in the preseason. Let me just hit you with a question straight on here, Joss. John, is Freddie Kitchens the right hire?
Freddie Kitchens has no experience. He had virtually no experience as an offensive play caller. He called plays for the Browns for 8 games after Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson were very unceremoniously fired on the same day. But I'll say this, the guy showed very quickly that he really has a creative offensive mind, and that is really important in the 2019 NFL, but arguably more important is he's got a big fan in Baker Mayfield. And is he ready to be the coach in the NFL? I don't know. I mean, he is.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, that kind of stuff seems to matter less and less when you have the quarterback. When you have the quarterback one, the franchise quarterback that you know can lead a team and can win football games, all of those things seem to matter less. So while it's going to be tough, you got a young quarterback with a young head coach, they can grow together, and he's going to lean on Baker.
John, you mentioned Kareem Hunt. I'm curious if the team or if John Dorsey or if Kitchens has heard anything about what the league is planning to do as far as his reinstatement.
No, John Dorsey had a phone conference today, and he says he's still awaiting news too. So they haven't given him any inclination on his situation with this suspension. Now, I will say, a big topic here in Cleveland today, the Browns are shopping around Duke Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And Duke Johnson has just signed an extension last offseason and would figure to play an integral role in this team before Kareem Hunt came over, along with what's going to be second-year running back Nick Chubb. So the fact that the Browns are interested in shopping a guy like Duke Johnson might lead you to believe maybe John Dorsey doesn't think Kareem Hunt's going to miss that much time. I think the prevailing thought is most people think he's going to miss time, and maybe a significant amount of time, anywhere from 6 to 10 games. And if that's the case, you might want to hold on to a guy like Duke Johnson. So the idea that they're considering shopping this guy, maybe John Dorsey knows a little more than he's letting on.
John, any fan backlash to the signing of Hunt?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, there was certainly a little bit. Look, this is this is football country here. It's a big football town, and I say that knowing that sometimes fans are willing to overlook some social issues. I think the fact that Kareem Hunt is from here, he played his high school ball at Willoughby South, just 15 miles outside the city, I think that helped. And I certainly think it helps that he's a really good player. And this is a football town that has been starved of good football for decades. And the Browns finally and their fans finally get this sense that they're close. And so if they think Kareem Hunt can put him over the top, you know, for better or worse, they're going to be willing to look past the social issues.
John Doss, WEWS, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Jabril Preppers goes to the Giants as part of that Beckham deal. What made the former first-rounder expendable in Cleveland, John?
Well, he had not been really good here for the first year and a half of his career. You started seeing signs around midseason that he could be good. And then week 15, they went to Denver, and Jabril Preppers arguably was the best player on the field. He had by far his best game as a pro and had the game-sealing sack of Case Keenum at the end of that ball game for what was really, I mean, it didn't mean anything ultimately in the playoff picture, but it was a big win for the Browns to go on the road and play meaningful football late in the season and win a game at Mile High. And his last few weeks, he was really good. Showed flashes that he could potentially be a Pro Bowl type of player like they expected that he could when they drafted him in the first round. So I honestly think he was expendable all along, and it only helped the Browns' cause that he started to play well later in the season. I also think that some people think it's a relatively deep safety draft this year, so the Browns think they can get some help there. Plus, you also know, if you can rush the passer, it makes your secondary look a lot better.
Yeah. John,
and that's what the Browns are clearly focused on here in the last week.
I'm curious as to what your reaction, what the team's reaction, what the city's reaction was to that piece that was out from a few weeks ago, the Seth Wickersham piece that was out on ESPN.com. Did the deeper dive into the dysfunction within the Haslam-led Browns, that basically everything leading up to the hiring of John Dorsey and his first season in Cleveland. What was the general vibe and reaction to that piece?
What do you think the vibe and reaction was to that piece? I'm kind of laughing about it because it did not go over well here. It certainly did not go over well here. And I actually talked to Seth a day or two after it came out, and I was picking his brain, why now? Why did you decide to write this story now? And he said, well, we kind of started thinking about it as soon as it was apparent that Baker Mayfield was going to be a really good player. And so I'm thinking in my head, probably like a lot of diehard Cleveland Browns fans were thinking, was, oh, as soon as it becomes apparent that the Browns have finally found their franchise quarterback, let's see if we can tear them back down. And so in Cleveland, it kind of became this sense of, oh, because we're the Browns, we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
And so much of that stuff and so many of those stories that were in that one piece have been written about locally by local writers for years. And so it really, for Browns fans, and honestly, objectively for me, it did kind of just seem like a Browns hit piece.
But it was so fun to read, though, John.
Has anything changed?
Dysfunction is always fun to read when it's not your team.
But, John, do you get the sense that anything has changed in terms of how Haslam deals with the organization now?
Well, clearly, something has changed.
Well, yeah, you have a quarterback on a 5-year rookie deal that you can, the moves that he's making are the moves that he should be making, right? Like John Dorsey should be making these moves, but, I guess we don't hear a lot about Haslam, and Haslam is kind of handing the keys over to Dorsey, which may be
exactly
the right move. And if that's the change, then that's the change. And that would probably at least lead to less dysfunction, but he still owns the team.
Exactly. And that was the big takeaway, I think. The biggest change was historically with the Haslams, it was Hugh Jackson and the general manager kind of had equal footing to go to ownership. And clearly the Haslams have now invested all of their trust into John Dorsey. And John Dorsey is the main go-between the Cleveland Browns football operations and the Haslams as the owner. There's no more ambiguity between, who do I go to if I'm an assistant coach, this disgruntled or whatever? You're going to John Dorsey. So John Dorsey has become more powerful within this Browns organization and maybe taken a little of that power from the Haslams. And I think most people in the organization think he's earned that already.
John, we've seen Cleveland have some nice moments here in the last few years as a sporting scene. You had the Indians, you had the Cavs.
Don't get spoiled now, John. You're going to start sounding like a Patriot fan.
Yeah, you're Boston West.
No, I said when, as in when have they had the nice moments?
Well, getting to the World Series. I guess I'm looking through the Buffalo lens here, John.
That's true. But now, again, remember back to that World Series and what happened in very Cleveland fashion, right? Just months after they were dogging Golden State for blowing a 3-1 lead, what did the Tribe go into?
Yeah, danger was
there.
So even
though they got
to
the World Series, it ended in very Cleveland fashion, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, here's my question. What is this a football town that has just been dormant, or is everything spread evenly? I'm just trying to get, are the Browns, no pun intended here, are they the top dog in Cleveland sports today?
when the Cavs won the title in 2016, they estimate that 1.4 million people packed downtown Cleveland for the rally. If Baker Mayfield and the Browns win a Super Bowl, they will get 4 million people in this city. Mm. It is not even close. It is by far and away a Browns town. Number two is the Tribe, and all the way down at the bottom are the Cavaliers. The only reason the Cavaliers were supported as much as they have been is because the local homegrown kid was playing for the Cavs, and they were winners. And that was easy to root for. It was easy to go to a Cavaliers game because you knew they had a good shot at winning. It was easy to root for them because you knew they had a good shot at being in the NBA Finals every year. But this is far and away a football town. And that's why it's really interesting that people in this town are likening the OBJ news a couple of days ago to the return of LeBron James, because most people outside of this city would say, are you kidding? That's insane. I mean, you're talking about arguably the best basketball player of all time coming back to the city, guaranteed winning and guaranteed success. You're just talking about a receiver coming to your football team. But that's how much this city cares about football.
No first-round draft pick for the draft in Nashville in April, John. I'm curious which direction you think the Browns are going to lead when they do finally end up on the clock.
They don't have a first-round pick, but they still have 8 or 9 picks. They've got mid-second round. Obviously, they've got a third-rounder. I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility that they move up. But here's the deal. All the things that they needed to address this offseason, they've kind of addressed via trade or free agency. The pass rush is not all that big of a problem anymore. Certainly the receiver is not all that big of a problem. So I think they're really going to be focused secondary, specifically safety, linebacker, and getting some depth on the offensive line, because the offensive line ended up being pretty good last year. But you traded away Kevin Zeitler. Austin Corbett is the guy they drafted with the first pick last year in the second round. He's going to fill into that role. But other than that, they have really no depth. So offensive line, linebacker, and safety. And I think they'll probably stay pat mid-second round and take either a linebacker or safety.
John Doss, before we let you go, and since today, I don't know what it is like in Cleveland, but here in Rochester, 68 degrees, John. It feels like baseball season. The Tribe. I guess one thing you have going for you is your division, and that should be a ticket to the playoffs. I guess, is the window closing on the Indians here? And as far as that division, you think the Twins have closed the gap?
A lot of people in this town are afraid the Twins have closed the gap. They were certainly active this offseason. And yeah, anytime you're, you know, Corey Kluber's getting a year old every year. He's getting a year older. Carlos Carrasco's getting a year older. Trevor Bauer should be as good as he's been throughout his career this year, so that helps. Mike Clevenger, the same thing. So their starting pitching rotation is still one of the best two or three starting rotations in baseball. But unfortunately, they played, you know, medium market team this year and didn't get any batting help, which is what they needed last year. So you're going to hope that Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor can carry you to another divisional title. But remember, the window on those guys is closing too, because when Lindor is up for free agency in a couple of years, he's gone. And same thing probably with Jose Ramirez. So I would definitely say, yeah, your pitchers are getting older. You didn't get any help at the plate, and those guys aren't going to be here much longer.
John Doss, keeping us abreast of what's happening in Cleveland with WEWS Sports in Cleveland, our guest in the sports bar. John, before we let you go, you're always gracious with your time. I want to make sure you have plenty of time where our listeners can see more of your work, read more of your work.
News5Cleveland.com. We got all of our stuff up there. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at John Doss. I locked that down a long time ago. But really, I mean, I'm more concerned with what's going on in my favorite city outside of California, Rochester.
Yeah, I mean, do you consider Mike Catalano a mentor, John?
Oh, I would not be. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be where I am without Mike. I mean, in many ways, and when I picked up where I, you know, I was 23 years old. I moved cross country with no friends, no family, and if not for Mike Catalano, I probably would have been out of this business a long time ago. So,
I love the story of a guy who likes to bet on himself and take those kind of risks, John. And it's no surprise that you are where you are and doing as well as you're doing. We're proud of you for continuing the great work that you're doing there at WEWS in Cleveland.
Well, I appreciate that, and I hope the Cleveland Browns can reward me with some postseason football this year because I have never covered it. Between the Bills and the Browns, I have never covered postseason football.
Hey, listen, you have no shortage of topics to cover, so the football gods are smiling upon Cleveland so far this new league year.
Yeah, the offseason has not been boring so far, guys.
John, one quick thing. The Browns get not just a primetime game. They get a Sunday night game, right? They're going to put them on Sunday night football, I would think.
Oh, they're going to have four primetime games. Yeah, they're going to have a Thursday night game, a Sunday night game, a Monday night game, and who knows? I'll tell you, the Rams come to Cleveland this year, and that's got primetime written all over it. So I genuinely think the Browns are going to have at least three primetime games. May get flexed into primetime later in the season, too. Everybody in the country is going to want to see this team. I had when the OBJ thing went down, I had friends texting me that I haven't heard from in months that all of a sudden want to come visit me in Cleveland and come to a football game here.
I hope you use big air quotes when you said friends. Becoming,
it's quickly becoming from Hard Knocks last year to Baker Mayfield to flashes of success to what's gone on this offseason, the Cleveland Browns are quickly becoming the intriguing team in the NFL.
Well, love it, John. Appreciate your insight, and thanks for spending some time with us this afternoon.
You got it. Anytime.
John Doss is great. WEWS Sports in Cleveland. If you missed that, we'll get it up for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com.
Beware of the high expectations. They are so high. By the way, I'm happy for people in Cleveland, and that is a sleeping giant. That is a football town above. I didn't realize that it was Browns up here, Tribe here, and then the Cavs way down at the bottom. Okay.
Every team, every city wants a winner.
Yeah.
You know, without LeBron, that team is lost. So,
but even when LeBron was there,
We spoke with Jerry Foley, the Giants insider, last hour in the sports bar. Oh, if this news would have broken while we had Jerry on the phone, it would have been nice to get his reaction. Golden Tate to the New York Giants, 4 years, $37.5 million, $23 million fully guaranteed.
Compare that to the Bills signings of Beasley and Brown, $23 million guaranteed for Golden Tate?
$37.5 million, 4 years, Golden Tate is now a New York Giant.
Okay, that could, well, he's got thick skin too. So, yeah, that's a tough act to follow. Come on in. So Golden Tate staying in the division. Makes it interesting.
How many slot receivers do you have in New York now? Let's get to NFL appetizers. More news out of the NFL. Top stories of the day with NFL appetizers brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Well, the Giants are talking to somebody else they're connected to. We'll tell you which wide receiver that is. We've got news from the Saints today. News from the Jets. Now there's a little bit of fallout that they signed Le'Veon Bell. Those stories and more. Lots of NFL news to get to.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24/7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.